T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dan Orlovsky joins us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Dan, we were just talking about the fact that, you know, guys are playing less and less in the preseason. Is there any downside to this, in your opinion?
It all depends on what that team's joint practices are like.
Yeah.
If that team is having good, spirited, competitive, legit joint practices, absolutely not, because those are much safer for players. Those are much more controlled. You only go to 95%. So I would say if you're still having those really good competitive joint practices, no, it's better for guys. I think you're going to see better football on a more consistent basis,
yeah.
Which is only good for the NFL. That's part of the reason why it's so hot right now. But that's all dependent on the organization, the coaches, and how they communicate those situations.
Dan, can you explain that, why it's a safer and a more controlled environment? Because we've heard that a lot. We've read that a lot. It's still football. It's still tackling. So why is it safer for them in those joint practices?
Well, one, very rarely is it actual tackling. Very rarely. I've never been a part of a joint practice where we're going all the way to the ground.
All the way to the ground. Okay.
Yeah. So it's a lot of those thud situations where on contact, the running back, receiver, whoever, on contact, you're banging. A lot of the times for the offensive and defensive linemen, the number one thing you hear out of coaches is, let's stay off the ground. Where in the game, it's almost like, dude, you do whatever you got to do to get that guy taken care of type thing. So just that 1% is part of it. Also, those coaches often will sit together. And listen, I don't think a lot of teams in the NFL need to practice first down against each other, right? Like, mm-hmm. Cool, you're going to line up in a pretty generic defense, and we're going to line up in a pretty generic offense, and we're going to run a play and hopefully get 6 yards and thumbs up. But a lot of those times, these coaches can get together and say, hey, today, I want you to blitz us. Blitz us. Give us everything you've got. Show us a bunch of different blitzes. We're not going to play you guys in the season. We're not going to share this tape with anybody. And so then where you might get 15 blitzes in a practice, where in a preseason game, the starting unit might get one. They might get two. And so you're becoming a better football team for it. And vice versa, you might go, hey, that's great. We really need a lot of work in short yardage situations. Can you throw a bunch of stuff like that at us? Where, again, you're getting great work in trying to fix a weakness, where in a preseason game, you might not be able to. You may never get one of those situations. So that's why it's a better situation to become a better football team rather than just punching the clock or checking the box on, hey, our starters got 8 snaps in preseason game number 2, and we went down and kicked a field goal. You know, that's yeah. why it's a much more, we need work at this situation.
We're talking with Dan Orlovsky, former NFL quarterback, now with ESPN. You see him on Get Up a lot and other things. Dan, I was watching the show. I've seen you on the show a million times. And the other day I was watching, and actually you weren't in this segment. There was Rex Ryan was talking, and after Kyler Murray had that bad performance in the second week, and he basically said, like, well, this will show you that this can't work. And I thought, like, it's one preseason game. That sounds ridiculous. It feels to me like a lot of the old school football guys, like Rex Ryan, want the running quarterbacks to fail, want the athletic quarterbacks to fail because it's not what they used to. Maybe that's unfair accusation. That's how it feels to me watching this when I see guys like him there. Do you think the establishment old school football wants guys like Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson to some degree to fail?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Because it's contrary to what they're used to. I do this Sunday, and this fall on Mondays, I'll be with Rex. I was with him last fall on Mondays. I absolutely love Rex. I saw what he said. So about a month ago or 3 weeks ago, I was on Get Up, and Greeny asked me, what do you think the Cardinals will be in the preseason? I said, they're going to stink in the preseason.
Right.
One of the distinct advantages Cliff Kingsbury has in the first month of his season, No one knows what his NFL offense will look like. No one. So why would you go out there and show anybody? You play the Lions week one. Why would you show them the two, three, four different protections that you have? Or why would you show them what you're going to do for certain blitzes or how you're going to protect certain blitzes? It does nothing for you, because what you're doing is forcing other teams in that first month. They've got to study three things. A little bit of what you've shown on tape in the preseason. They've got to study a little bit of what you did against Texas Tech. And then they've got to hope. And then they've got to just hope that they guess right. And then there certainly is that group of coaches that, one, everybody knows coaches have as big an ego as players. And they think, I know how to stop that, or I could stop that, or this doesn't belong. And Rex, again, I love Rex, but he's been an NFL guy for a long time. And those guys take pride in being – that is their league. That is our league, quote-unquote. Mm-hmm. And they sure as heck don't want – the new school, the new gun, the pretty boy head coach to come in with his high-flying, whatever you want, patty cake offense and having success. Because not only is Rex an old-school coach, he's a punch-you-in-the-mouth defensive coach. And so he's wired a certain way. So, yeah, there is a group that certainly hopes, you know, we'll show them.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Dan, this offseason's had a lot of different ideas thrown out about scheduling and adding more games, but guys can only play in so many games, adding an extra bye week, adding more playoff teams. What is the sweet spot for the NFL? What is the right number of games, weeks, preseason games, playoff teams? Are we in store for a drastic change coming up, or what do you think is the ideal numbers here?
Yeah, I don't think there's a drastic change coming up. Here's the reality. No matter what they do, there's always going to be something or someone who thinks they have a better answer. It's like, you know, when I had a buddy say this to me years ago, like, no matter how pretty your wife is, there's always going to be someone out there prettier for some, you know, like, that's just, there's, so everyone is always going to have the next answer, the next best situation for the NFL. I think the NFL is really good right now. I think the NFL is really healthy and it's really hot right now. The theory of playing 18 games and only having 16 of them be potential opportunities for guys to play, or my number one question is does anyone in Cleveland want Baker Mayfield playing with a backup left tackle?
No.
Okay, no. Does anyone in the NFL want their starting quarterback? So how do you manage that? How does a coach manage that? Like, you can literally, you can throw away not only your season, but you can throw away a head coach's job because of one decision that was forced upon you by the NFL. So I think the reality is, and I said this when I was a part of them 3 years ago, the NFL needs to do mandatory joint practices for every team. You can figure out and coordinate who you want that joint practice to be with, and it has to be over a 3 or 4 day span. And then you play your preseason game with each other or whatnot. I think there needs to be 2 preseason games. One for the starters, and they play, you know, a good 30 minutes of football. And one for the guys trying to prove themselves. Because my thought was always this. We got training camp that's 40 days long. These guys got 40 days of tape, 40 days of reps, 40 days of evaluation. What they do or don't do in a preseason game in the fourth quarter with 6 minutes left, it should not be in any more weighed greater than what they've done over those 40 days. And so these joint practices, because the NFL is archaic in this preseason thought process, because 20 years ago, 30 years ago, a lot of guys who played in the NFL, this was not their full-time job.
Right.
You know, some guys were whatever in the offseason, and so they needed the 4 games to get themselves in shape. I mean, you guys know, nowadays, guys take a week off, and then they're in California training, Arizona training. I mean, it's so why do guys need 4 weeks nowadays? They come into training camp ready to go. They come into training camp ready to play. They don't need 4 games. So if I'm the NFL, I'm cutting it down to just 2 games. They're not making any money. The owners aren't making any money off the preseason games. Stop. And just let's get it started.
Dan Orlovsky of ESPN, former NFL quarterback. Dan, we know the Browns have gone from one of the least talented teams to one of the most talented teams. They have the talent to get to the playoffs and maybe even win a Super Bowl this year. What we don't know is, will they be coached well enough? We think they will be, but we don't know that. Will the chemistry come together? Do these guys know how to win? Are they reading their press clippings? It seems like Odell and Baker have a GQ article or this article every day. Are you worried about those things at all? And do you think the talent carries them through over all of it?
I don't think the talent carries them through. We usually don't see that in pro sports, but I believe that this team is different. I believe that this team is tight. Listen, first of all, we want Baker Mayfield is not Toll Brothers. He's not cookie cutter.
Like, yeah.
We've got to stop treating him this way and getting annoyed with every time he says something. He's a 6-foot quarterback. Yes, he is wired differently, and he's got a chip on his shoulder. It's not a chip. It's a Mount Rushmore on his shoulder, and he's never going to lose that. And my thing is this: if Baker, I always go back to this moment. I always go back to this moment of Baker standing at the combine 18 months ago and saying, "I think I'm the only one who could go change that franchise." Those weren't words to him. Those weren't just things that he thought would be cool. Like he wakes up and we see you all the time on social media. People go, "Inject this into my veins." Like that, it is injected into his veins, and so. I believe that he's always been a guy that has read his press clippings, and he's always used it the way he needed to use it. And the same with Odell Beckham. And so, no, I don't think that the talent will carry them over. I've said this. I think Freddie Kitchens is the perfect coach in this situation because he does not care about your feelings. I think Baker Mayfield is in the absolute perfect situation. I've said this. This is the number one thing determining whether this season will go the way I and a lot of others expected or not. Adversity is going to hit the football team. They are going to play bad for 2 weeks in a row or 3 weeks in a row, or Baker's going to throw a pick to lose a game or something. And they need to have a plan for how that will be handled. It can't be handled on the fly and we'll figure it out. Like the head coach, the quarterback need to have a plan. When adversity strikes, what are we going to do? Who are we going to be? And how am I going to lead? And if they've got that figured out, they'll be okay. They'll be okay, and they'll ride it out. But if you don't have that plan, you know, that's when you can lose on more than just football games.
Yeah, and they'll be challenged early with a tough schedule. But sure. I'll tell you, I've covered 8 Browns training camps, Dan, and the swagger in this camp from this team is wild. I mean, I know they haven't had the talent in the past, but it's like covering a different team this year. It's so bizarre.
And I think it's and you know what's cool about it too, though, is they know.
Yeah.
They're not stupid. They know that they've got to let the walk match the talk. And let's see. Like, that's one of the great things of sport is when someone comes out and says, "I'm going to punch you in the mouth," and then they go do it. Like, that's, we love that. And so I want to watch them come out and go, no. We're here now, and let's see if you guys can match us. It's going to be awesome.
Dan, we appreciate it, man. Great insight. Keep up the great work. Rising star. I you're just on fire there at ESPN. You're the best guy on that show, by the way. I'm not just saying it because you're on. You're the best guy on that show.
We
appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks,
very
man.
Much.
Thanks, Dan.
Dan Orlovsky, ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.